Blog Talk Radio.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
I'm pumped up. I'm excited. I'm fired up. Man, I'm burning up. I'm burning up because today is the day the Lord has made, and it's the best day ever. Why? Because God made it. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm your brother, your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soul. I'm to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Woo, I'm so excited. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just glorify and magnify your name because this is the day you have made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, Lord, that you have made. It's an exciting day. It's an exuberant day. It's a day of rejoicing and celebrating. Why? Because you gave us your breath and your strength. Father God, I just thank you that you continue to show us that your graces and your mercy is renewed every day. You love us so much that you give us another chance, another opportunity. As the young lady said, we may not even deserve it, but you give it anyway. Why? Because you're a loving God, and a loving God is not selfish. It's not self-seeking. It's a giving God, and you're that God. Your love never fails. Thank you, Lord. Right now, I pray, Father, for the world, the countries, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhood, the families, the individuals of all these entities, Father God, that their eyes will be open, Father God. Their eyes will be open to the golden opportunity, Father God, of being able to be received in your loving arms. To know that Jesus is a big brother, to know that Jesus is their redeemer from their own destruction. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that in the name of Jesus, that everyone, because you said this in your word, you wish that none should perish, and everyone can have everlasting life. I pray for that right now, Father God. I pray that every human being on this planet, Father God, can be saved and receive the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can illuminate your scriptures and open their eyes to the wisdom and the knowledge that you have, Father God, to help them have a victorious life. For you said you come to give us life, and not just give us life of existence, but to give us abundance, Father God. That's celebration in itself. But you came and you came to heal us, Father God. Heal us from all the things, Father God, that we may even brought upon ourselves. that celebration in itself. Then you said, Father God, that you would open up the windows of heaven, blessed, that we wouldn't have room enough to contain it. That celebration in itself. Oh, Father God, we look to and fro trying to find happiness, Father God, but you would give us a peace that surpass all understanding and give us that unspeakable joy. That celebration in itself, Father God. We just want to thank you, Father God. I know that there are many out there struggling right now. The times look bad, times look hard. But, Father God, you have never left us or forsaken us. At every crisis, every given situation that has ever existed on this planet, Father God, you have always turned it around. Turned it around for your good. That celebration of the self. So, Father God, I just praise you. Just bless everyone in the sound of my voice. Let me decrease. And let the Holy Spirit increase. Increase in the way, Father God, that, Father God, it's almost like we walk in on air, Father God, because we know you're always there. For I praise you, I glorify your name, I magnify your name, and I say it in Jesus' holy, majestic name. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, I'm fired up today. I'm fired up. Whoa, man, let me give you this quote. Tony Evans said, when you realize God's purpose for your life, that is not just about you, He will use you in a mighty way. And God has already taken into account your wrong turns for the mistakes in your life. So we can quit beating ourselves up and accept His mercy. Hallelujah. There is hedges, protections around you which the enemy cannot cross. What is meant for your harm, God said He will use to your advantage. Hallelujah. That's celebration in itself. Then the scripture tells us in Psalm 37, 23, 24, the steps of a man are established by the Lord. We delight in his way. Though he fall, he shall not cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Hallelujah. It's like Jesus reaching down to Peter. That's celebration in itself. And Psalms 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. God is always looking on us to give us the right counseling. Hallelujah. That's celebration in itself. And Isaiah 48:17, thus said the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teach you to profit. Who lead you in the way you should go. Now, why are we following Ray Charles and acting like Stevie Wonder when God is going to make it clear for us to see? Hallelujah. As the man said in the song, I was blind, but now I see. That's celebration in itself. And in Proverbs 16:19, the heart of a man's planted his ways, but the Lord establishes steps. God has already established our step. All we got to do is step into it. There used to be a song called Stepping Into Tomorrow. Hallelujah. Got both feet on the ground. Jesus is helping us to walk that path. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to take a pause for the calls here. I'm going to cool myself down here and tell you a story about a young man named Ray Kowalski, who was struggling with direction and acceptance, who wanted so bad to be recognized by others, and his story goes like this. I always wanted to be accepted, but more than just accepted, I had this desire and hunger to be the center of attention. It turned from wanting to have fun to actually wanting to prove myself as a young man. In high school, Ray eventually found the thrill he was looking for in one of his gangs within the surrounding area of his high school. Along with the affiliation came his first experience of drugs. Ray tells a story like this. He said, before I was 16, I started experimenting with pot. It was quick. It went from cigarettes to pot to everything else very fast. So basically within 2 year time, not only was I smoking pot, but I was also using acid and a lot of cocaine. I was selling about 2 pounds a week of marijuana to the most respected gangsters in my school. Ray and his friends became increasingly more violent to gain that respect in their city. And we know the young people now, it's all about respect. You got to respect me. You got to respect me. Well, that's where Ray was at. He said, we did a lot of crazy things. We had a lot of fights, a lot of gun activity, a lot of drugs. By the time Ray was 17, he was arrested on a sting operation. Within 5 months, he was in prison and 4 months of house arrest. After serving his time, he ignored his probation, returned to the streets, which most of us would do, and got back into it more heavy, looking for a higher reputation. He was out there and out of control. His motivation was totally clear. Anything for that respect. I wanted to store my story to be permanent. I wanted my story to be permanent so bad that I was willing to commit murder. And he set out on his quest to kill somebody at some time. So Ray found his opportunity one day. After a fight broke out with a rival gang, he called his buddy up and he said, "Bring your guns." We decided to go on that mission. When we got to the event, we pulled up in the parking lot. Me and my buddy said, "Are you ready?" He said, "Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this." He handed Ray the pistol, and Ray said, he pulled the gun, cocked it, and he heard a yelling in his ear, "Shoot him, shoot him, shoot him." I don't know how close, Ray said he don't know how close he got, but he said his finger was on the trigger, and it was cocked. There was a girl he knew from back in the day. She screamed. Her scream broke him. He looked over at her, and he said, "Oh." And he said, "I looked at the situation. I was like a child. That was my first time in that transition of my life. I experienced fear for myself. Not like for I was scared because somebody was going to do something to me, but I was scared because of who I become." Oh, Satan, good. Ray didn't follow through with his plan to kill that day, but the authorities arrested him for gun possession, violation of his parole, and he was sitting the 90 days in a boot camp on a military base. Boot camp would not be easy. Ray knew it. This is going to be the most intense thing I ever experienced. This is a whole new world. Yeah, boot camp on a military base is a whole new world. I know for sure. Until one day there was a sergeant who walked up to him during the ranks and went straight over to Ray and handed him the Bible. Ray opened up the Bible, and the first book he went to was Revelation. Interesting enough, when it starts with Genesis. That was the first place he went to, and he said, this is what he believed God was talking about. This is what he got his ideal of what God was about. And it said that his hair was white as snow, bronze skin. This blew Ray away. He said, but I noticed something. I had absolute respect for him because he said the angels around him were singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Ray said he was mesmerized. I was absolutely complete and out of this God. Never have heard this before, nothing like this. And I mean, this was the Holy Spirit. Ray said it was a wow, a bam to him. He said the Holy Spirit began to come out and show him what real respect was all about. This was the beginning of the most dramatic turnaround he had ever encountered. As the young people say, this was real, and he kept it real. Ray said he continued, and he said a new prayer life began to take place in that moment. It was like Paul on the road to Damascus. He said it was the most awesome time in his life that God had showed up. Ray said when he got out of boot camp, he had made a tough decision. This is all about decisions, people. Not to return to the old lifestyle. Just days later, he met his wife, Stephanie. His life had been changed, and the groundwork was prepared for the transformation that was happening to Ray. By the renewing of his mind, Ray had turned his life around. Now Ray is married with two children and one on the way. He said he praised God all the time, for he took the moment to listen to his voice, because he said if had he not listened, his life could have been turned out a whole different way. Ray is now the leader of the youth group, and he also has his own Christian rap ministry and hopes to show other young men the excitement and the power of Christ. Hallelujah. See, the moral of the story, there are many voices in our life that will speak to us directly, indirectly, or subliminally, causing us to vacillate between the voice of God and the voice of Satan. We can see from the few years of Ray's life, he was listening to the voice of Satan, causing him to entertain not what love is, jealousy, envy, pride, and self-seeking behavior. Well, we know that Ray is not alone. Many of us will take the road of self-discovery, and we too will follow the voice of Satan. However, we can see, but when we listen to God's plan for our lives, we will be filled with great rewards. But when we listen to Satan's plan, on the surface it begins to look like it's good. But what looks good in the beginning, on the back end, is the entry to hell. Examine your life closely and choose wisely, because ultimately the choice is yours. This leads us right into our show. God's direction or Satan's distraction? We can see from the introductory story that life is full of people who have questions, metaphorically or literally, that ultimately leads to us making decisions. That either we will follow the voice of God in this direction or Satan's deception or distraction. We know that there are times when we feel and become so confused and uncertain to what path to take that in more than not cases, we follow Satan. Now, we all like to profess before the world we would only follow God. And I would say, yeah, that sounds good in theory. But the human reality, it's a lie. We know we can't stand before God and tell such a truth. We all had to go through that path. Even some of the great disciples of Jesus had to go through various paths. Paul himself. And why can I say this boldly? Because this is not a new problem that we are looking for an answer to a question, but it's been an ongoing struggle through history that has been an issue for hundreds of thousands of years. And you might say that's not true for you, and I understand. However, if you are living this human body, your name ain't Jesus, you more than likely have some point of life struggles with following God, and you were led by Satan. Now, if you doubt what I say, I'm cool with it. But if you believe in the word of God as you profess from cover to cover, I can take you back into the word of God, and we can see if this statement of mine is false, and if I can't validate with what I'm saying or claim what I'm saying is true today, or that the word will validate itself. So let's look at a few people who follow the voice of Satan based on decision, distraction, and desire. Hallelujah. See, Genesis 2, 5, 17, 3, 11, and 3, 1 to 13 says this. The Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, it tells us that the serpent was more cunning than any wild animal the Lord had God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman told Satan, we may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. Satan replied, certainly you won't die. God knows that when you eat from the tree, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, the distraction, and also desire for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate. Decision. Also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eye of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they stitched fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Now the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the tree. But the Lord called them and said, where are you? And the man replied, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Decision. So let's look at this. They had the right to decide. Adam and Eve were given the ability of choice, where they could obey or disobey. Eve understood she wasn't supposed to disobey God's commandment. But she quote back to the serpent with adequate correctness, and that she knew the two options. And because we are free agents in this world to make decisions to the point of life and death, like Eve, we choose anyway. See, God didn't make robots. If he did, Adam and Eve would have automatically obeyed. But God gave us the ability of choice. Why? Because he created us in his own image. See, Genesis 1, 26, 20, it says, God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all of the earth, and every creepy thing that creepeth among the earth. So God created man in his own image. In his image, God created him, male and female created him. God made sure Adam and Eve had the ability of choice. And not only did they have choice, they had power. They had the power, decision-making power, or they were large and in charge. See, Moses understood this principle, too, very well, for he quoted, he said in Deuteronomy 30, 19, 20, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse, therefore choose life. the power of choice, so that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the promised land. So, again, the power of choice was given to Adam and Eve to choose life. Yet, despite the knowledge, just like us today, who understand the responsibility of God's commandments, alas, instead, we sometimes listen to Satan's distraction and decide against God. And again, I know everybody want to profess they follow God. I ain't mad at you. But at the end of the day, we know what time it is, right? We know the reality that if we all follow God accordingly, then Jesus didn't have to come. But let's be realistic here. Sometimes in life, we can get deceived. For you see, being free agents, we can decide, but we can also be deceived even with all we think we believe and know. Remember, Eve knew right from wrong, but when the serpent presented his lies, the serpent replied, "You certainly won't die." Yet, like Eve, we choose to believe it. Here is where Eve was deceived, as she would acknowledge and present to God. She said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So Eve, with all her knowing, all her wisdom, she still falls short. And see, Eve said this to blame the serpent for her disobedience. But it was her fault that she was deceived. It wasn't her fault that she was deceived. God had certainly said that she would die if she ate the fruit. And even though it stated that the serpent was cunning than any of the wild animals the Lord had made, but the serpent may have been cunning, but not more intelligent than the humans that God has made. See, Eve was highly intelligent. She could have seen the right and wrong and certain deceit if she had applied the clear thinking to the matter. However, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it states that for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Had she executed that sound mind and continued to trust in the love of the Lord and the power that he had given them in the beginning, she wouldn't have got jacked up in that situation, right? But we all fall short. But it says she resolved to follow and trust Satan for temporary pleasures that cause a lifetime of pain. Adam should have applied similar logic, but he followed Eve's request where he listened to Eve instead of listening to God. It seemed familiar, right, and pretty simple. Paul tells us that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression, 1 Timothy 2:14. However, Eve transgressed because the serpent clouded her mind. And Adam's mind was clear in that he did not believe the lie, but he failed to resist Eve's desire. And knowing the transgression, he went along with it anyway. This is something we have to take into account. Again, we all can make decisions, even when we get deceived. And most of the time we get deceived because we're not exercising the sound mind that God gave us. Well, that's why it tells us that we have to renew our mind, because all the things that are presented to us in the past from the world or things, deceptions or distraction, has basically clouded our mind, clouded our thoughts. And to confirm this, now, we know that, as I said before, desire takes over. And we know that Eve did not succumb to the lies of Satan. That's where she was caught up and got distracted. When she saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate of it. See, that desire got in the way. And that's usually what gets us caught up. Now, again, I want to study back with the Buddhists. They used to always say to me, wants and desire create pain and suffering. And that was one thing I truly retained from that teaching. And see, it says, before she ate, Eve looked at the fruit and fell in love with it. Her eyes told her the fruit was delicious, and she wanted the power of the wisdom she thought it could impart upon her. And see, the scripture tells us in 1 John 2:16, to confirm what I said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Eve let her desires take hold and the desire to spell logic, entering the world and opposing love for God and truth. And like I said, we don't make decisions out of logic and rationality most of the time, but more out of emotion and logic and rationality and our decision-making ability follows. We can see that with Ray. See, desire, want and desire to have power, to be accepted, to be in control was governing Ray's logic. I'm sure nobody raised him to go out and want to kill somebody. I don't believe nobody raised him to go, at least it wasn't said, to go and smoke pot and get high and just be totally out of control. No, I don't believe that. That's usually not the way we come into the world. But in most cases, we get distracted by these things of wants and desires. See, it is good to desire what is good. It is not good to desire what is wrong. That is lust. See, James says, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And like I said, a lifetime of pain. That's what happened to Eve. That's how she got caught up, the desire. And desire, through Satan's deception, caused her to make an unwise decision. Hallelujah. But see, God created mankind with desire. He did so for many good reasons. Yet no desire he gave us should drive us to disobey God, as it did with Adam and Eve. Our objective is to not let desire become lust. And as Proverbs said, the desire of a righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. Well, let's look at a few more characters here who made some decisions. We know Abraham, right? Abraham was known as the father of faith because he believed God and he was made righteous. That sounds pretty simple and easy to do, right? Yet it took God telling Abraham the promise seven times before Abraham fully was convinced. The sixth time God promised, Abraham fell face down and laughed. And after this, God told to name his son Isaac, which means laughter. Abraham is the example that even if you keep wrestling with decisions and you have the faith of Abraham, and yet you still can sometimes fail, but God's plan still can go forth, and we still come out victorious. Well, let's share another story. His name was David. He was known after a man's own heart. And you know, I said that the Bible talks about the heart 300-something times. And yet David himself wrestled with decision-making. It talks about that David wrestled with his faith after Nabal treated his men improperly. Again, in Ziklag was destroyed. His wife was carried off, and his men talked about stoning him. And additionally, there was a time he stayed home from war and committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed her husband after finding out she was pregnant. Yet David always emerged with his faith, even after wrestling with bad decisions, and God still made sure that his plan would succeed. This is why we have Jesus today. Hallelujah. And let's look at another brother here, one of the original 12 disciples of Jesus. Peter is known for his boldness. You know, he was impetuous and outspoken. It was Peter who was commended, though, by Jesus for receiving the revelation from the Father that Jesus was the Son of the living God. But when Jesus was arrested, Peter wrestled with making a decision. Do I act like I know him, or do I deny him? Now, I know he told me at the table, and I told him, Jesus, I would die for you. Yet when the day of reckoning came, he wrestled with the decision. Well, Satan put his ear, look, dude, if you tell them that, you know Jesus, they're going to kill you. They're probably going to do worse to you because you ain't as powerful as Jesus. So he was going back and forth with the decision making. Yet at the end of the day, even though Jesus had told him that he was going to make this decision, Peter still went forward. But Jesus understood the truth about Peter. He knew what Peter was to become. See, Jesus knew that he had predicted to him that he was going to deny him. But Peter's faith, even though it seemed to have failed in the moment, Peter's faith brought him back to Jesus, unlike Judas Iscariot, who had told him, too, he was going to fail him. He was going to turn him in. But Judas allowed Satan's deception unto death. Unto death. See, he was distracted because they offered him these coins, and so he thought this was the ticket. Satan do that. On the front end, everything looked good. On the back end, it leads you down that path to hell. Whether hell is figuratively or realistically, one or the other, it leads you in that direction. But Peter understood that he knew that Jesus was a forgiving Lord. Jesus was a forgiving God. So he knew that if he came back to decision-making, he would get the desires of his heart, which is to be back in good fold with Jesus. Hallelujah. See, Peter's faith brought him back to Jesus, and not only reconciled, but Jesus asked him to go feed his sheep. Here is where Peter went from being Simon to Peter, the rock. Hallelujah. So thus, we carefully examine those of the past and the past in the Word and their false intention and what was within their heart. We got to see this. This is a good thing about reading history, that you get to see other people's decision-making ability. You get to see when they make their bad judgments. You get to see the outcome of it, and you get the wisdom from it. I remember a man, John Maxwell, said, a man came to him and said, man, if I knew this stuff now, back 20 years ago, then I would be a whole different man. And John Maxwell said, well, if I knew that 20 years ago, that might be so, but I didn't know it. So therefore, I couldn't give you what I didn't have. But we are blessed enough to know that with God's word, hallelujah, with God's word, we get to see the decision-making abilities that people made. And we get to take that knowledge and wisdom and not use it in the way of it as it might have been to them, but they passed it on, to now allow it to be a life sentence, but our life lesson. Hallelujah. So this is amazing, see? Because again, as we look at their lives, we find out that these subjects, they follow the distractions of Satan and not the direction of God, intentionally or unintentionally. Meaning that sometimes our ego, our pride, our self-seeking behavior gets so deep rooted, we lose sight of what the direction that God gives us to do or to go. See, we like to look at things on the surface, but everything, when you see an iceberg, it might be big on the top, but it's much deeper on the bottom. See, we got to go deep. So sometimes we look at ourselves, we look at our brothers and sisters, and they make these unwise decisions. It could be our children, it could be our parents, it could be many people in many titles and roles that make unwise decisions. But if we're not seeking first the kingdom and all his righteousness, surely we're going to make those wrong decisions. If we're not trusting God with all our heart and soul, we're going to make those wrong decisions. But good thing when God gave us his word that has sustained itself for over 3,000 years, it has allowed us now to get that wisdom firsthand. Now, if we are wise, we'll attempt to follow that. But like Ray said, see, he didn't know this. Didn't nobody come to him and share with him this knowledge early on. So he had to wing it. Time Satan is good because he'll create an illusion. You got one group called the debate club. You got another group called gang. But the guys in the debate club, they look like nerds and they don't dress cool. They don't talk cool. They don't get the girls. They don't get nothing over the gang. They get the girls. They get the money. They get the cars. They get all the deception. To get all the distraction, and at that point, you make a decision. And bada boom, bada bing, Satan got you. But however, let me give you some insight on seven keys that we can take to avoid the deception, the distraction of Satan, and be able to more so follow God's direction for the plan that he has for our life. What is the plan he has for our life? And Jeremiah 29:11 said, the plan that he has for our life was to prosper and that no harm should come to us, that he give us hope for the future. Hallelujah. See, the first thing we need to look at is Scripture. Now, many people say that Scriptures contradict themselves. Now, I don't recall me saying that, but I wasn't that certain about the Bible in the early years of my life when I was coming through. As a matter of fact, going to church was just a hangout. But I didn't understand it. Why I didn't understand it? Because I ain't read it. So if you don't read it, you don't know it. And what does the word tell us in Hosea? My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So therefore, you're walking around ignorant spiritually. You think you know what you're talking about. You pick up a scripture here. You pick up a scripture there. You turn it to the way you want it to sound to work for your favor. And so therefore, you're still in the den of Satan. Because he leading you down that path. Because we can see Satan know the scripture too. And Satan would turn around like he did with Eve and say, but did God really say that? Oh, he's cool, man. You can do this. Go on and get your puff on. Puff, puff, pass. Go and get your swig on. Go and get a snoot full. See, that's Satan's thing. And again, sin is pleasurable for a season. So we do that, right? Right, we do that. However, the scripture is what it tells us. All scripture is given by it and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Now let me go back over that again. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I don't know. I've worked a lot of places, and I served a lot of time with the military. But I can't tell you that I was thoroughly complete and equipped in every good work. Every time I look around, I had to go back and ask the big sarge or the general or somebody, I need this, and I need that. I need this, and I need that. But God makes sure that we would be made complete and thoroughly equipped. The second one is the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. See, we need to be open to receive the Holy Spirit because Jesus did nothing without it. Matter of fact, Jesus was in the position because he had the Holy Spirit. He had that dunamis power. He could heal the sick. He could give sight to the blind. He could make demons come out. And matter of fact, that power of the Holy Spirit was so powerful that the demons knew who he was, for he showed up and opened his mouth. That's power. Imagine that's called reputation. You walk into a room and everybody knows that you're the captain of the football team. Before you open your mouth, your authority, your stature, your position, your power is already illuminating from you. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. It says here, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law into their mind, and I will write them on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I like that. Matter of fact, that's so good, I'm going to say it again. I will put my law in their mind, and I will write them on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I don't know nothing on this planet greater than being God's people. And he will be our God. The one who created the universe. When you look at the stars, when you look at the sun, even though it's still alone, it still shines. When you look at the clouds and you see them make different shapes in your imagination, make you believe it's this or it's that. When you see a plane flying in the sky, when you see a bird flying by, all this comes from God. And yet he tells us we will be his people. And then, you know, as I said earlier, he said he would create us in his image. I don't know how better to get than that. But then we go on. So now that's one and two. Let me hit number three. The prophetic, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the personal prophecy. It says here that, and that scripture was Hebrews 8:10-11. It says here now in 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the prophetic utterance, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Now, I just told you what is good early on in the earlier scriptures. So now, if we look and we hold on to that and we don't quench the spirit, we don't hold it back, we don't push it back, we don't hide it under the rug, but let the spirit do what it do, there's only nothing but victory for me and you. Hallelujah. And then we look at godly counsel. Where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in multitude of counselors, there is safety. See, Ray, Adam, and Eve, they didn't listen to the counsel. Now, Ray didn't sound like he had wise counsel, but we know that Adam and Eve did. We know that Abraham did. We know that David did. They had wise counsel. But because they didn't use it in given situations, their safety or their situation got compromised. But where there is counsel, there is safety. So we got to be willing to seek God and his counsel through the Holy Spirit so that we may go forward and be more victorious. And then there's confirmation. Matthew 18:16 says, I've stepped away from the scripture. Proverbs 11:14 was where the wise counsel comes from. Now in Matthew 18:16, confirmation. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. You know, the other day I ran across a problem, and I looked for confirmation. As I said, either through the Holy Spirit or where God may use someone to give me knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. But we always have to stay teachable. We have to stay in student mode. And so when I went through the three councils that I have, like Jesus had three in his close circle. So you had John, James, and Peter. So I went to my three people. And each one basically confirmed what I was thinking. And the last one said, David, I don't think I said nothing you didn't know already. And I said, you know, Mark, you're right. You did not say something I didn't know, but I needed to make sure that I know that I know that I know. And I know when God crawls through you and the other two that I'm going to get what I need on what I need to do. Hallelujah. So then we go on to Colossians 3:15, the peace of God. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. See, be thankful for the wise counsel through the Holy Spirit, through the confirmation of wise counsel as Jesus Christ rule your heart so that you can make wise, sound decisions, so that you may go forward and be the best God intended you to be. Too long we've been settling. We've been settling too long for mediocrity. We need to be willing to rise up to the greatness that God intended, not for vanity's sake. See, sometimes we lose sight because we get caught up in ourselves. But if we keep our baseline of 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, that love is not self-seeking, it's not envious or boastful, it's not proud, then therefore when we let the peace of Christ rule our heart, we don't fall into that trap. Many people have moved up into successful positions and status, and they let it go to their head. Because they're letting their mind govern their heart. But see, we have to ask God to create us a clean heart and renew the right spirit in us. And once that happens, we still got to stay teachable. Because the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion, will govern our behavior. And emotions usually govern those desires. And when the desires show up, they govern our decisions. And when we make those decisions 9 times 10, it leads us down to the path of sin. And once it leads us down to the path of sin, if it's not a physical death, it's going to be a spiritual, emotional, or mental death. Something is going to happen to take away what God was trying to give to us. Hallelujah. And then we have to allow, circumstance and timing, we have to consider these things. See, in 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, now there is a great gain in godliness with contentment. We have to learn to be content. Paul talked about that. And then 2 Corinthians 12:10 said, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamity. For when I am weak, then I am strong. As I said last week, if we allow our efficiency to be efficient within Christ, then we're going to meet all the expectations God intended for the plan for our lives to be. And then Psalms 37:3-5 says, and this is the crux of it. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, the right desire, the right desire. And commit your ways to the Lord, and trust in him, and he will act. God is not a man that he should lie. See, when his word go forth, it shall accomplish that which is meant to do. This is important. So in conclusion, many times the Lord will confirm his direction to us through 3 or 4 of these important keys that I presented, especially when we are in the process of making important life-changing decisions. Thus, as the scripture tells us to trust in the Lord, learn to be content, don't let desires of our heart cause us to make impulsive decisions due to Satan's deception and distraction. For you see, in the end, it leads us down the wrong road. But if we follow God's direction, if we allow the Holy Spirit to help us to make our decision, then our wants and desires will be in line with God's word, and he will delight and give us the desires of our heart. So let's move right on to the latter part, the second part of the show, a soldier's perspective. Let me bring it home. It's called This Is What It's All About. The whole reason we're learning, studying, and developing in God's word is for us to become disciples and share the good news of God. It's not for us to gather these blessings, to hoard them and keep them to ourselves. So as he say, the windows of heaven, bless us, come down, give us blessing. We have room to contain it. It's not for us to turn Scrooge on it and just harbor it here. I remember there was a show about ducks, and he was like a Mr. Scrooge. I can't think of his name now. And when you would go in there, he'd just be holding all the little gold pieces. Oh, no, that's not what it's for. It's not for us to hoard it for ourselves. The main reason we should be taking God's knowledge and wisdom into our heart is to share, to spread, to give the good news of the kingdom to the world. So when we decide to choose, we choose this day who we will serve. See, Philippians 2:6-11 said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He wasn't looking for acceptance. He wasn't looking for approval. He didn't get caught up in the bling bling and all the things that the world tells us is so important. Oh, no. He took it upon himself, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, remember early on, they said, let us make them into our image. But Jesus said, let me make myself into their image. He came to be like us in a form, you see. And being found in the fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I always ask the question, what you willing to die for? See, I get a little fired up because now my soldier come back out in me. What you willing to die for? And I remember, again, my young soldiers would always, they're young and they're excited. They got their first weapon, or maybe not their first weapon, but they pumped up, ready to rock and roll. They'd be like, Ray, I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill these people. They do our country this way. We fighting for America. Or they fired up. They pumped up like I am today. They pumped up, ready to rock and roll. And I would say to them, and I said this to many soldiers, have you ever killed anybody? Have you ever stabbed anybody? Have you ever had a fight with anybody? So why do you think that you're going to go out here and that these people just go lay down for you like a target in a target range and let you just gun them down? As the rounds go out, the rounds come back, and the bullets don't discriminate. Here's where discrimination has no place. Because when it comes to hit a target, and you are that target. But what are you willing to die for? You're talking good, but when the first round come in, it would define, just like Martin Luther King said, the character of a man is not defined in his comfort and convenience. It's defined when he's being tested, when he's being challenged. So when life brings you these things we see today, the coronavirus, your family members transitioning, your family members getting sick, you see them in the hospital, and oh, I didn't experience all that in this whole year of the pandemic, as they call it. But when your faith is tested, what are you willing to die for? Now, I mean, again, literally that you have to physically die. Are you willing to die to your flesh, to the fear that's presented before you? Whether it's the rounds coming in from a bullet or the rounds coming in from Satan, this is why we need not to use carnal weaponry. We need to use the armor of God. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need the sword of the Spirit because it is the power from God, his word. We need the shield of faith to ward off those darts. See, we don't need a lot of faith. And if you think about it, if a man is 6'5 and he's got a shield, it ain't going to cover every part of his body. But because he has faith, when he move it, he can block it. He can block it because he's holding on to his faith. And when you hold on to your faith and you go to move forward in God in the shoes of peace, you got comfort. You got comfort. You content, as they said. You content always, because no matter what comes your way, you're content. And then when you look at that weaponry, that belt of truth holds all that equipment together. See, God's truth will set you free from fear of the law of sin and death. So we have to recognize that even as we put this blessed plate of righteousness on, God will protect us. He will protect our heart. He will let that heart be filled with faith and not fear. But you got to hold on to your faith. But let's go back here. See, because Jesus was not afraid to die. Unto obedience of death, even when his flesh said, hey, look here, I don't know, God, if this cup could pass, you let it pass, because the flesh was talking. But see, he was led by the Spirit. But if it be thy will, and here's the question again, what you willing to die for? Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. See, what Ray was looking for early on, once we serve God, he will exalt you. He will give you that acceptance. He will let you be somebody because you're somebody to him. You know what? My favorite song now is I'm Just a Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things underneath earth. You know, when he went to hell, he came back with the keys of authority. Hallelujah. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. As I like to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. Despite of myself, I'm not ashamed. Hallelujah. Thus, we should strive to listen, study, and follow God as a servant to serve. God didn't tell us we were going to get people saved. Hallelujah. That's God's business. Our business should be as Matthew said in 28:19-20. Hallelujah. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Did not he start in the beginning of this story or this session here that he told Adam and Eve, I command you to obey this. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the ages. Based on God's word, let us follow God's direction and not be deceived by Satan's deception. So now, if you want to benefit from this, what I said and what many of the teachers, the preachers, the scholars, the bishops, the archbishops, and whatever title that God has blessed them in their gifts, the only way this is going to mean anything to you, because this is what it's all about. It's about your salvation. Because this life here, this is short-lived. And if nothing else this pandemic should have done for any of us, it recognizes the old saying, go, life is short. Now, I personally plan on living to be 100. That's my plan. Now, what God says is different. Like Martin Luther King said, I like longevity. But if not, I'm cool with it. Because like Paul said, as from the body present with the Lord, I'm content because I can be here that 100 years and meet my heart desire and be able to go declare the works of the Lord, or I can be with the Lord and celebrate and just wait on everybody else to show up. Either one, I win. But I like the longevity for now because I feel like this is my time to go and do what I wasted for 40 years. Well, maybe not so much wasted because, again, I had to go through what I went through to be where I am now. But I might have been, as we always like, if I could turn back the hands of time as old guy Tyrone Davis, I would change my mind. But I'm changing it now. But again, if you really want to benefit from this, you really want to grow, you really want to have that golden opportunity so that when you do transition from here and you be on those streets of gold and the man see me in glory with my new robe on, stop by the crystal river to make my weak bones strong and drink from a fountain that shall never run dry, and God is going to wash every tear from my eye. Do you want to make it? If you do want to make it, say with me and declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Therefore, Father, say with me, I confess that Jesus is Lord. I make him Lord of my life right now. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I renounce my past life with Satan and close the door to any of his devices. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I believe and I accept you, Jesus, my Lord. I am a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new in Jesus Christ. If you said that or you thought about saying it, or you may say it later, I tell you, it's worth its weight in gold. There's nothing on this planet more rewarding, more exciting, more beneficial, and all your life is going to change. You may not party like you used to. You may not drink. You may not smoke. You may not carouse. You may not do all those things, but we know all those things at some point will lead us down that path, an entry door to that place called hell at some point. May not be on the surface, but on the back end. But no matter what you do in Christ, when you're falling in line with the plan he has for your life, it leads to that victory. It leads to that excitement. It leads to the reward that gives you that peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's not about having temporary happiness, but having that eternal and unspeakable joy. This is all about. That's what this is all about. And as you get this good news, go and share with somebody. Now, again, if you need more teaching, you need more preaching, as I always tell people, I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. So, but if you need that preaching, because everybody requires something different. As they say, some are visual, some are audio, some are touch. Everybody requires something different. I recommend that you come to Kingdom Building Development Institute. And hallelujah. And if you need to communicate with us through email, you can communicate at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. Again, I'll say that kingdombuildersplaza@gmail.com. If you need to contact the home office, go to 313-583-9739. Say it one more time, 313-583-9739. And hallelujah. You know, as they say, the salvation is free, but the ministry costs. Yes, we need to keep this moving. We need to keep this moving. So you want to sow into this ministry because this is a beautiful ministry. The founders of this ministry, Pastor Prophet Teresa and Elder QT, they are the most beautiful individuals I've met in a long time. And see, here's the deal. God will line up. I remember when I was in Iraq, and a brother from Africa told me, spirit recognize spirit, and some spirits don't line up with all spirits, but when they do, it's a beautiful thing. God blessed me to meet them, and they've been blessing me ever since in so many ways. So, again, let's support the ministry. Let's bless the ministry at www.giveify.com. That is GIVELIFY.com. And, again, I look forward to being able to speak with you next week. Good Lord bless me to do so. And that being said, remember this. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You see, it is the best day ever because God made it. Hallelujah. God bless you. Keep on fighting the good fight of faith. And again, pray for me, and I'll pray for you, and let's watch and see what God will do. Have a wonderful week. Hallelujah.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life begin to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door.